This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And when you get to Romans chapter 8, I want you to look at verse 31 and 32. I'm going to talk to you tonight about, I call this the victorious power of love. Now, when most people hear that, they're like, oh, well, you know, love message, you know, love, love, love. Well, I'm going to show you something here tonight, because, I mean, I used to do the same thing. You know, oh, yeah, love, you know, yeah, I know, I got to love you, you got to love me, we got to love one another. God is love, 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 you know. So much more than that. And as you begin to see this tonight, every demon that has been assigned to try to torment you and to stop you and block you will begin to pack his bags and move out your neighborhood. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's read verse 31 out loud together. 31 and 32. Ready? Read. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Now, notice what it says in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things if God be for us? Now, I am absolutely sure we can drop the if, because most of us have been saved long enough to know for sure that God is for us. Amen. Amen. In fact, let's get very personal with it. God is for me. Say that, God is for me. In fact, let's say it like this. Say, God is for me. Say, God is for me. Now turn to your neighbor and look at them right in the eyeballs and just tell them, God's for me. Turn it on the side, say, God is for me. See, one of the things that we've got to recognize as Christian people is that God is not saying that, you know, you're not going to have any trouble, you know, in this world as Christians. But what he's committed to do is to make sure that he's on your side. I mean, if the trouble begins today, then God starts today working at getting you out of that trouble. Amen? Amen. See, what you've got to understand is this. Listen, not only is God for me, God is in me. God is on my side. If the devil throws ground beef at me, God will turn it into meat sauce. You understand? If he throws lemon at me, he'll turn it into lemonade. No matter what's going on, God is for you. You've got to realize, you know, you may think, well, it's my fault, or, you know, you don't understand what I did. And don't get to beating yourself up. Don't get, you know, to looking at yourself and, oh, God, I feel so guilty. I hadn't read the Bible at all. Don't feel guilty. Feel hungry and just read the thing and quit beating yourself up. God is for me. Now, where are you? Where are you? Well, I don't have money to pay my bills. God is for you. Well, Brother Dollar, I lost my job. God is for you. Well, I'm a little frustrated in my marriage. God is for you. Say that again. God is for me. See, at no time in your Christian life, once you get born again, you've got to get this. God is for me. He's not mad at me. He's not trying to get me back. Somebody said one time, well, God almost got you that time, honey. If God was going to get you, you'd have been God. God is for me. God is for me, praise God. He's on my side. He's in me now. God is for me. Say it again. Say it again. I got stuck on this point for 30 minutes. I'm ready to go on, okay? All right. God is for me. Now, you know, the interesting thing about that is in the Old Testament, we read times where he wasn't always for certain things. But now he has a promise he's made to us because of the blood of Jesus, because of his son and what his son did on that cross for us, you know? He will never be angry with you again. God is not mad at you. God's not trying to get you back. Oh, I lost my job. God trying to do something to me. Now, God, first of all, listen, God don't try. All right? Amen. What Jesus did on that cross forever puts God on our side. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Who or what can be against you? And I'm telling you, God is for you. Nothing can be against you. So whatever the devil throws across your path, God is going to turn it around. You hear me? He'll take those stumbling blocks and turn them into what? Stepping stones. He'll take times of recession and turn it into times of progression for you. Amen. God is always for us. God is never against us because of the blood of Jesus. How many of you believe that right now? Amen. All right, now, watch this in verse 32. It gets interesting here. He that spared not his own son, referring to God, but he delivered him up for us all. He delivered his son for us all. Now, notice this. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, there's something really interesting in this phrase that expresses God's just his love for us, that I know he loves me because look at what he did. He gave his son up for me. Now, anytime I think about this, I think about this correlation that we see between Abraham and Abraham's only son. And there are some things we can learn there as we read this scripture here. In fact, in Genesis chapter 22, I'll flip over this just for a moment. Genesis chapter 22, he says in verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, he's talking to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now notice what God is saying here. I want you to take your son, the one that you love. Take the son that you love. Take the son that you spent all his time believing for. And I want you to take your son up and I want you to offer him at an altar and that I will tell you of. Now, first of all, I thought, now, if God came and asked me to take my son and if I would put my son up to die in place of a murderer, I just got real with God. I'm like, I don't think I can do that. Not for a murderer. Yeah, but God did. Yeah, I ain't God. What I'm trying to get to is that's hard. That was rough. It was rough for Abraham to do this. But now, see, understand something. God already knew at the beginning when he told him to take Isaac up to be a sacrifice. Isaac didn't even qualify to be a sacrifice like Jesus did. First of all, Isaac had sin in his life. He didn't qualify to be this faultless sacrifice. But God wanted to see something a little deeper here. Look at verse 9. He said, and they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hands, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord. Now, that caught my attention, the angel of the Lord. You know, this was Jesus before we called him Jesus. You start studying, this is not just one of the angels of the Lord, but when he talks about the angel of the Lord here, man, he's just talking about Jesus here. Notice he said, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. He says, I know you fear. I know you respect. I know you love me. I know because you would not withhold your son from me. You would not withhold your son from me. I know you love me, Abraham, because you would not withhold your son from me. Now, I want you to think about this. Go back to Romans chapter 8. I just want you to see that here. In Romans chapter 8, I want you to notice some things here. God wanted to see if Abraham would give up the one that he loved for him. Well, what do we see here? How do we know that Abraham, how did God know that Abraham loved him? Because he would not withhold his son from him. Well, how do we know that God loves us? Because he would not withhold his son. Not because you felt it this morning when you ate your eggs. Oh, I feel like God loved me. No, no. I know that God loves me because he would not withhold his son that he loved. He wouldn't withhold him from me. Think about that now, ladies and gentlemen. He would not withhold the most valuable thing that heaven had. He would not withhold his son from me. Just like Abraham would not withhold his son from God. God would not withhold his son from us. And there was nobody there to stop God from putting Jesus on the cross like they stopped Abraham. He would not withhold his son from me. All right, now watch this now. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I'm working on something. I'm going somewhere. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all other things? All right, now look what happened here. Most of the time people look at this and they say, well, Jesus gave his only son, so he's going to give us this, and he's going to give us this, and he's going to give us this. And we kind of like separate that from the fact that he gave us his only son. That's not what it said. He said he gave him, and with him, you can freely receive all other things. Here's what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen. It just almost, you know, straightened my hair out when I saw this. Say this out loud. Jesus is my everything. When I received Jesus, I received everything else. Jesus was a package deal. You know what that means? When I received Jesus, with Jesus, I received my healing. With Jesus, I received my deliverance. With Jesus, I received my wisdom. With Jesus, I received my righteousness. See, we've been trying to receive all those other things separate from Jesus, but it's a package deal. So you can wake up tomorrow and declare, Jesus is my peace. Jesus is my righteousness. See, he did not withhold Jesus from you. And when you received Jesus, you received everything else you're going to need. Honey, it's all finished. Everything you've been praying about is a finished work. Everything you've been trying to get is a finished work. You've been trying to get victory, and you already have victory. You're not working for victory. You're working from victory. You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand. You're not working for victory, you're working from the position of victory. In other words, you're already victorious and you're just walking out who you already are. See, you're not working for righteousness, you're working from righteousness. And now that you realize you are the righteousness of God, you're just walking that out. You're not working for healing, you're already healed and you're just walking out what you already are. You got to go ahead and believe that you receive what's already been done. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my victory. Jesus is my paid bill. Jesus is my job. Wow. That's pretty powerful. He gave me Jesus and everything come with Jesus. It's kind of like during Christmas time, they say batteries are included. Praise God. I now watch this now. I want to ease into this now. God is trying to demonstrate to us how deeply he loves us. He'd give us Jesus and then include everything else for free. See, I dare not try to get healed without recognizing that Jesus is my healer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are God's beloved. What's beloved? One who's loved by God. Now say this out loud. I am God's beloved. Say it again. Say it again. Now have the audacity, turn to your neighbor and say, don't tell them you are, say, I am God's beloved. God wants you to not only know that you're loved by him, but I'm going to get into this tonight. He wants you to feel that you're loved by him. I know love's a choice, but God wants you not only to know this, but God wants you to be intimately aware that you are loved by him. Now, here's something that I had to deal with. Now, I'm not talking about tonight how much I love you. And thank God I love you, but I'm loving you with his love. I'm not talking about even how much I love God, because my love for God is never going to be greater than his love for me. Where I'm trying to get your thinking is, I need you to believe that God loves you as if you're the only person on the planet. I need you to come to this place over these next two nights where you are totally convinced that not God loves the world and not God loves everybody, and then wondering, does he love me? Not, well, I know he can heal, but I don't think he can heal me. Think about it. How are you going to ever believe his word if you don't believe his love for you? So I'm talking about God loving you. And for a moment, I want to put you on center stage with the spotlight on you. Because your faith won't work without you receiving God's love for you. Now, I got to show you where I am tonight. I know God love himself some Creflo Dollar.
It's happening again. Say stuff in this church.
I can't do that for you. Each and every one of you have got to come to this private place between you and the Father where you know that you know in your knower that God loves you with an unconditional, unending, supernatural, unwavering love. No matter where you are, what you did, how you did it, how it happened, you got to wake up in the middle of whatever and say, I know God loves me. I know I might not be what I need to be, but I know I'm not what I used to be, but I know that God loved me before then. When I was in the ditch, when I got out the ditch, God loves me. People fail in their faith because the enemy's objective is, I've got to get you to somehow feel condemned and guilty. Somehow, something that you did in your performance has got to convince you that God certainly cannot love you after you did all that. Baby, let me tell you something. God loved us while we were yet sinners. When you were party-hardy, loosey-booty, smoking weed, trying to be cool and acting like a fool, God was loving you. Now what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get you to realize that he loves you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He's already decided he's going to love you. So now you need to receive his love.
All right, now let me tell you why I'm going at this. I sense a shift is about to take place in the body of Christ.
I have noticed there are people I know that are absolutely convinced that they are God's beloved, more beloved, extraordinarily the beloved, until they've made beloved part of their name. But you know something else I've noticed? Miracle after miracle after miracle. I've seen them get exactly what they say. I've seen them bypass natural process, and their life now is moving in the supernatural. And by the way, I prophesy that to your life, that your life is about to bypass the natural, and you're about to live and experience supernatural things. You better hear what I'm saying. Supernatural processes are visiting your house. You are children of the supernatural, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't believe Jesus coming back with you not knowing how to live life on a daily basis in the supernatural. But I've noticed these people seem happier. They're fulfilled. Faith is working. And the common denominator over 30 years has been they are absolutely overwhelmed in their belief that God loves me. Whew. Miracles happen for those who realize that they are God's beloved. The more you believe that God loves you more than you can ever know. I mean, you'll start noticing things happening. You're going to start noticing that you're happier in your life. You're enjoying life a little bit better. You're not walking around looking like you've been sucking on a lemon all the time. You don't have this like Christian disorder where you're just so weird. You can enjoy life. You can enjoy your humanity. You can go on picnics and wear shorts and not think you're sinning. You can chase your wife in the house and play cowboys and Indians and I believe once you realize how much God loves you, I believe that you can enjoy the blessings of God more. The quality of your life begins to be tied up with you realizing that you're God's object of love. You win the fights of life when you realize that you're God's beloved. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble, but you're just going to win all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you out of them all. But that comes when you recognize and realize, even in this situation, God loves me. I mean, even when you think, man, I just did the stupidest thing ever. And then you say, and you still love me, I know it. Because the devil's over there like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just did the stupidest thing. Yeah, 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 yep. But God love me. You the one. You love me. And actually, you ain't got to do that because he ain't know, he here. You love me. You know you love me. You know you love me. My biggest concern tonight is I'm concerned that you might be too intelligent to receive this message. Because this is where your faith is going to take off. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. You see why I want to take two nights with this? I don't want to rush this. I want to milk out everything I can. Ephesians chapter 3. Somebody shout while you're turning, I'm God's beloved. I am the one loved by God. God loves. Now put your name there. Creflo Dollar. You can call your girlfriend tomorrow. I mean, if you're late enough, you're a guy and you're married, you don't need to have a girlfriend, but you need to call somebody and just tell them, God loves me. Yeah, what you want? I just wanted to let you know that. No, I'm talking about practicing this. I'm talking about practicing this until you become established in it. And no matter what happens, that's the first thing that comes to mind. That's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. God loves me. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. That's the ability to do all things. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Oh, le Krishna, namo san la masa. Lord Jesus, and I saw something else. To be strengthened. That's right, God. To be strengthened with the ability to do all things. Good Lord. Oh, my gosh. See, I told you when I come here to this church, I see stuff. I done preached this thing 3-4 times. I ain't never seen that, what I'm getting ready to tell you. To be strengthened with might. Might is the ability to do all things by the Holy Ghost. Huh? And I'll turn there in a minute, but you remember Romans chapter 5, the first time Romans talks about the Holy Spirit, he talks about the Holy Spirit in relationship to love. And he says he just says this wonderful thing about a hope won't disappoint. So if you've ever had a hope and it was disappointing, your hope, the Amplified uses the word disappoint, your hope is not going to disappoint anymore because the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God in your heart. That the love of God has been shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost has been shed in your heart by you know what I'm saying. The love of God's been spread in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And your hope won't disappoint anymore. Well, over here, oh, Jesus. He said, you have the spirit of might, the ability to do all things by the Spirit of God. Yeah. I will submit to you before these next two, this night's over with. I will show you that the ability to do all things is the love of God. Amen. The love of God, when a man recognizes how much God loves him and his perfect love begins to work in him, I will show you, Jesus in the name, I'll show you that is not only the might of God, but every time you look at power, the Holy Spirit is not trying to give us a revelation of his power. He wants us to get a revelation of his love. And once you get a revelation of his love, you're going to see his power. Once you get a hold of his love, you're going to know about the ability to do all things. Why? Because God is love. And when you have that love working on the inside of you, you have the ability to do all things. You have the might of God. You have the power of God. You have the anointing of God. And it's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I am convinced right now that the anointing to prosper is love. Praise God. Now, would you please tell me, what did I tell you to turn before I had that fit? Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians 3. All right. All right. Let's 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Be strengthened. With might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? That you be rooted and grounded in love. Now, this is another thing we'll see throughout these sessions. That you be rooted and grounded in love. What? You're rooted and grounded in knowing that God loves you. When, you know, it's kind of general when it's translated over, just rooted and grounded in love. But as you begin seeing the string of truth throughout the New Testament here, my root, what I need to be grounded in, I need to be grounded in this belief: God loves me. That needs to be my root. I need to be rooted in that.
God loves me. I need to be rooted in that, rooted and grounded in knowing that God loves me, rooted and grounded in knowing that God's loved me. So this is a prayer that Paul is praying for Ephesus, so that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depths and the height, and to know the love of Christ. See, that's why I believe that's the roots, to know about it, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, notice what he says. He says there's something about you're rooted and grounded in this knowledge that God loves you, and to know, to have experience. And that's what I want you to know. I want you to be able to not only know that God loves you, but to have experience that God loves you. He loves me. Say it.
He loves me.
He loves me. Say it.
He loves me.
But he's talking about going beyond knowing he loves you. Go beyond that. Now watch this. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I don't know why I used to think this, but whenever, you know, growing up as a charismatic, I used to think, well, anytime I heard filled, I just related it with the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't exactly wrong, but I just thought, well, here's my solution to being filled. I'm just going to pray in tongues. And that's just me. My solution to being filled, I'm just going to pray in tongues. I'm going to get filled. And then I saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Flip over there. How does one get filled with the fullness of God? If you're there, say amen. All right, look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Amplified says, if I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, here's what he's saying. You can pray in tongues all day and don't believe that God loves you, and all you're doing is making noise. Because like a car has to have gas to operate at the optimum ability, you as Christians need to know God loves you in order for tongues to operate at its maximum level. You don't even believe God loves you. Yeah, la, 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 la. I'm probably going to hell by tomorrow at 12. La, 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 la. It ain't work. You don't even believe love. But if you will get, notice, by having confidence in the love of God, he says you get full of God. You get full of God by having confidence in God's love for you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, since I got a hold of this, I spend time in the morning just feeding off of God loves me. Just in the morning. First thing comes to my mind when my eyes open, God loves me. God loves me. And I get to thinking about, oh, God loves me this way, God loves me that way. And before you know it, I'm end up singing about how God loves me. And I'm telling you, I get so full of the presence of God. I mean, I know he's in there, but I'm just like, you know, there's sometimes I just break out in tears. There's sometimes where the power of God's just on me. There's just sometimes I just want to just tear something up. Because I'm just like, this is amazing. I did it one time in front of my dog, and he was like, hmm? I started to lay hands on him, receive. Well, that'd have been something, huh? The dog would start talking to Tom and say, hey, Creflo, where my food at, boy? Just by having confidence that God loves me, I get full of God. His presence. Listen, you don't have to believe me. Do it. Wake up tomorrow before you go to bed.
Spend 15, 30 minutes then making confession that God loves me with an unconditional, never-ending, undying, unyielding love. God loved me, not that I loved him, but he loved me first. And, oh, God loves me like he loved Jesus. And you get to meditating on that. You'll get so full of God. You're not thinking about your problem. It becomes very difficult to sin, too, when you're walking around thinking, God loves me. And you know what happened? You look at your bills. God loves me. You're not thinking about how I'm going to pay the bills first. You're thinking about God loves me. And because God loves me, we're going to handle this. So the love of God becomes the root and it becomes the basis of everything that you're having to operate in faith in. See, if you're not going to believe what somebody says if you don't believe they love you. You got to feed off on this. This is not just me imparting knowledge to you. I'm like, you got to feed off this. You got to take time. And you're not going to know the passion by which I'm saying what I'm saying tonight until you take the time to feed off of it. To feed off of it until you become so overwhelmed and you're so filled with confidence. All of a sudden, you begin to walk with a new walk. You're not walking down like this wondering when something's going to happen. When you realize God loves me, it's up, back, what's up? What's up? Hey. And you ain't even got no money. Yeah, I had that to you by Friday. Yeah, praise God. God loves me. You don't know where that money gonna come from, but you know God loves you, and you know because he loves you, something gonna happen. It'll work out because he loves me. And I'm not having to walk around with fear because I know he loved me. Are you seeing the perspective that I'm trying to get this? Not oh, you know, we don't love one another. We're going to get to that. But I'm telling you, you're not going to know how to love one another until you learn how to receive the love he has for you. Because the love you're going to use to love others with is going to be his love. So you got to receive his love. Your love ain't perfected. His love is perfected. Receive his perfected love, and then his perfected love gets in you and starts being perfected. And now that's the love you're going to use to love him and love everybody else with. That's the only love that can love your enemies. But I'm not talking about that. We got to go to the root of the thing. Do you believe that God loves you regardless of where you are and what you have done? What good is believing God loves you when you're just only in the nice place? Well, God loves me because I'm nice. And besides, God's good to me because I'm good. Listen, God's not good to you because you're good. God is good to you because he's good. Some of y'all disappointed. What? You mean all the stuff I do for the Lord? See, that's the deal. We have more faith in what we do for Jesus instead of having faith in what Jesus has done for us. I love God. Yeah, I'm glad you love God. But do you believe he loves you? I mean, you know. No, you don't. It's taking you too long. You're negotiating with your performance. You're looking at everything you've done, and you still keep trying to put God on this level where you think you have to earn his love. He decided to love you. Will you receive it? If you will receive it and feed on it, your faith will go to a place that you've been trying to get it to go to. Just by realizing God loves me. And with confidence. God loves me. You're so sure about it. Like, God loves me. Yeah. God loves me. Yeah, I know it look bad, but ain't no use of me crying over it because I don't know what to do about it. He loved me. Hey. He loved me. I know he loved me. Mm-hmm. Bank ain't gonna give me no money. My mama and them ain't gonna give me no more money. I already asked them, hey, for enough. You know. So, you get so confident.
And you know what's happening? Angels, y'all go look at that. Take care of that thing. That's somebody that know I'm loved. It's kind of like John. One of the theologians or somebody did a historical study of John. They said they had a hard time killing him. Because he was the beloved John. He was the beloved apostle. He was the one loved by God. They had a hard time killing him. There was one report where they tried to put him in oil and boil him. But when you know you loved by God, they can put you in a pot of oil and you start bathing in it. What's up? This feel good. We need to bottle this and start a business. What's up? And the devil doesn't know what to do with a Christian who has the revelation that I am the beloved of God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. The more we realize it, the more we feed on God's love for us. You get this? Our lives become at ease. And you know what happens? Which means no more dis-ease. And then look what he's able to do now. Verse 20. Now that you believe that you're loved by God, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Well, what's working in us? That knowledge that God loves me. He loves me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves me and I know it. I need you to go to Romans 5. I mentioned that, but I want you to see that. Romans 5, verse 5. See, I'm tired of seeing Christians disappointed. Praying and the prayer don't get answered. Giving and they don't get no harvest. And confessing and nothing happens. And then they have to make up a religious excuse for why that didn't happen. Well, I guess that just really wasn't the will of God. Well, it was in the Word. And if it was in the Word, it was his will. Well, you know. Kind of like people that join your church, Brother Mac. Well, my season's up. It's been good to be here, but the Lord's moving me on. Like God has some type of bipolar problem or something like that. He knows exactly where you're supposed to be. And you're just moving because you didn't get an opportunity to lead the praise song or to do what you wanted to do. And so you wrote a letter. This is my letter. I'm thankful for what you showed me while I was here, but I got to go now because you're not letting me do what I want to do. And I appreciate it, but later. But look what happens here. Verse 5. Somebody told me, said, Brother Dollar, you'd be more anointed if you just quit doing all the little plan. All that joy. You just have too much joy in your messages. I will not. You don't, if you don't like it, wait in the car. Because the joy of the Lord, we need joy. You need to smile some more. You need to have the joy of the Lord around you. You've been around demons all day long. You come to church, man, you want some joy in your life. Amen. All righty then. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Amplified says, such hope never disappoints. It never deludes or shames us. Why? Because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Man, you get to understanding the love of God. Listen, this is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Romans. And we charismatics, when we look at the Holy Spirit, most of the time we think the power. 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 And the love of God, listen, is the power of God. But the Holy Spirit wants us to know love, then we'll understand power. The Holy Spirit wants us to know love, and then we'll understand signs and wonders. It's not the love for power, but the power of love. Are you listening to me? So look. The first thing he's trying to establish being sent here is in your heart, he's trying to establish that God loves you. And so when you start hoping and you believe that God loves you, you better watch out, because your hope's not going to disappoint now. Your hope's not going to disappoint now, because you know that God loves you. And when you walk in the love of God that he has for you, you will overcome trouble. What does Romans say in Romans chapter 8, 37? That yea, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors, come on, through him that loved us. I'm more than conqueror through him that loves us. I want you to start noticing the number of times in the Bible that God addresses us, especially in the book of 1 John, he addresses us as his beloved. Beloved, 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 beloved. When God loves you, God doesn't take it back. Now, there's some things that happen. I want to give you like four PowerPoint, whatever you want to call them, that you can expect when you begin to believe that God loves you. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, everything that the devil does is to destroy that sense that God loves you. Everything the devil does to you is to destroy, ultimately, to destroy that sense that God loves you, your sense of belovedness. And Satan will use anything he can, religious teachers, to bring condemnation and accusations, bringing up your past, and getting you to feel like, you know, God's mad at you and all that kind of stuff. Anything he can do to try to get you to lose the sense that God loves you. Second thing I want you to realize about this. The devil has no defense towards those that know that they are God's beloved. He has no defense towards those that know that they are God's beloved. None. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, the heavens opened and a voice from heaven said, you remember what he said? Say it. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It goes right into chapter 4, where Jesus is being led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You remember what the devil said on a couple of occasions? If thou be, watch this, the Son of God. Wait a minute. He wasn't announced as just the Son of God. He was announced as the beloved Son of God. What was it the enemy doing? What is it that the enemy knew? He knew that temptation would not work in the life of a believer who knew they were the beloved Son of God. We got to get them to think that they're not beloved, and then temptation would work. Ladies and gentlemen, when you listen, because most of the time when you yield to temptation, that's when you're feeling rejected. That's when you don't feel like you're cared for. That's when you feel like God don't love you. That's when you feel like nobody else loves you. And then that's when you yield to sin. That's when you do all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you something. If you can remember that God loves me, and you can remember that you are the beloved of God, there is no temptation. Temptation is not going to be successful if the person who's being tempted knows that they are God's beloved. Say it, I'm God's beloved.
I'm God's beloved.
I'm God's beloved.
I'm God's beloved.
So gentlemen, if you're at work and this little fast thing walks across you with barely nothing on, you just look at it and say, you look good, but I'm God's beloved. You hear me? You recognize that you're beloved of God. The times when you're feeling the way you feel, ladies and gentlemen, it's Deuteronomy, I think in 1, they said they rebelled against God because they thought God hated them. And when you think God hates you, you'll rebel against it. When you think you're not loved, it's like, why would you believe what anybody has to say to you and you think they hate you? Why would you believe any of the word
If you think God hates you, you've got to settle that issue. God loves. Amen? Amen.
Let's look at 1 John 4 real quick. I want you to focus on this. I want you to feed off this, man. Things are changing your faith life. And there's just nothing like it, man. When you trust God and you're right in the middle of something, man. And see, I'm hopefully I'll finish this book up on fear. I got a chapter on moment by moment fight with the devil. What happens is he's going to bring up stuff in your mind, okay?
That you know is not true. He don't say stuff and you're like, that's not true, but why is he bringing it up? You've already settled in your heart, this is what the truth. And he gonna say something in your head. Well, you know you're probably gonna lose your house today, and you're thinking, it's the holidays. I'm not gonna lose my house today. Why are you even talking to me? I believe that my God has already satisfied all my needs. Why are you speaking to me? Because he's trying to distract you in your mind so you can throw away what's in your heart. Because listen, we've been trained to say what's correct in church. And what we say in church that's correct is not always what we believe. You're going to find out what you believe once the pressure's put on. See, when you come home and you see a little sign on the door saying eviction by 5 o'clock, oh, Lord, they're going to put me out. Well, see, that's what you really believe. But see, at church, you said, my God's going to take care of everything. I have the victory and it's all going to be all right. Well, do you really believe that? Well, I'm saying it. Yeah, but is it in your heart? Yeah. Well, we're going to find out if you really got it. Now, the pressure comes on you. You go to the doctor, you've been saying, oh, we long. I'm healed. You go to the doctor, oh, I see another lump. I'm going to die. See, that's what you really believe. It's what comes out in the time of pressure is what you really believe. And the enemy wants to always be ready to give you something to change if out of the stuff you say you're trying to get in your heart. And I'm talking about in the times of great pressure. You sit there, you might be crying, you might be trembling. And you open your mouth and you say, I'm healed.
I did that with my doctor one time. My voice doctor, I went in and he looked and he said, And he said, well, you know, you got this on the vocal cord and da 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 da. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, I'm healed. He said, well, we're working on it. I said, no, I'm healed. You working on it. Jesus has already finished it. Well, he laughed. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I shouldn't expect anything else. You're right. After all, you're just a preacher. You better listen to me too.
See, that's what you believe. That's what you believe.
When you oversee a church and you need millions to come in every day, and then you go through the summer and you're like, Lord, have mercy. And I don't even allow my staff to call it a deficit. I don't allow them to call it a shortage. Nope. We call it overflow and actual overflow. And everybody know what all that means.
But it's in a time of pressure. And I'm telling you, I can recall times where I had tears in my eye. And I knew I have to say what I believe. And I believe his word. And I could just sense demons just going nuts when I said it. Like, why don't you change your mind? I said, because if I do, I won't get what I'm hoping for. And besides, why would I change my mind? God loves me.
Something happens when you're beat up a lot by the world. And it's a good thing. You decide that you have no need for a reputation. See, because if you have a good reputation, then you got to do something to keep it good. And if something happens to the reputation and it get bad, you got to do something to try to make it better. But if you ain't got no reputation, hey. And I decided I want to be like Jesus, of no reputation. What happens? How do you do that? God loves me. God loves me. It's the most freeing thing in the world.
God loves me. And I know I got a million people gossiping about me, but God loves me. And you know what happens? You get so psyched up, God loves you, you just kind of in the thing, because you know ain't nobody watching you, so you do stuff that nobody would, you know, like.
It's so free. It's so free. You go to the grocery store speaking to everybody. Hey, how you doing? They ain't even said nothing to you. Hey, how you doing? Good, good. Hey, you doing all right?
Good, good to see you. Good to see you.
What's the matter with him? Why are you speaking to me? I ain't speaking to him. That's all right, because I made my mind up. Even though I have enemy, I won't be an enemy. How can you say that? I love God only because he first loved me.
I didn't know how to love him. I thought I did.
Lord, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And one day God said, do you?
I said, I want to. I was being honest. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to God. He said, well, I want to show you something. I said, okay. He said, all your heart? I said, well, I got some other stuff in my heart. He said, all your mind? I said, well, if that was the case, I wouldn't be battling my concern about how this budget gonna be dealt with. All your soul? Well, I'm just gonna say no to that one. All your strength? I said, well, if that were true, I wouldn't have no money in the bank. I said, okay, God, I got a ways to go. What's your point? He said, my point is you need me in order to love me. He says, nobody's been able to love me like that except Jesus. But I can give you perfect love, and you can use my perfect love to love me, because every time you focus on your love for me, you're still going to have the potential to be shakable. But when you focus on my love for you, you will be unshakable. See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You see the focus that I'm trying to, you know, focus in on God's love for you, and that God loves you. This perfect love, the Bible says, will cast out fear. Sounds like deliverance, doesn't it? Well, it is. When you start believing God's love for you, it'll cast out the fear of recession. It'll cast out the fear of living your life without a partner. It'll cast out the fear of, you know, lack of finances. When you start seeing this love, it will cast out the fears of life. You don't have them anymore. You don't have them anymore. I used to be just real concerned about, you know, because I got daughters, and I'm like, you know, my daughters are out, and, you know, who are they with, and what are they doing, and, oh, Jesus, and will this be the night that I have to get the shotgun out on the little boy? It's just... And you know what? I thought, you know what? This is crazy. I said, I got to trust you with them. All right, now, I know some of you, I'm going to say something, and I hope it sets you free. Well, my kids come to me and they say, well, you know, you see the mistake you made in my life? If you'd have did this back then I wouldn't have turned out this way.
You just tell them, well, my mom and daddy weren't perfect with me either. Listen, and they made some mistakes with me. But I got saved, and Jesus corrected all of the things that they didn't do right. So now you got the same opportunity to do the same thing I did. So don't come try to make me feel guilty. You better get Jesus and let Jesus do to you what he did to me. Because I'm not going to carry that. You know, sometimes try to make you feel good. I'm not going to carry that, baby. And I said, oh, my kids, I said, I want to make an announcement. You all belong to Jesus. And all my kids are grown except for one. I said, you all, but the ones that are grown and out, they keep coming back.
Daddy gonna have some money. Daddy, my money on vacation. You know, I always give it to him. But I said, you know what? I make an announcement. You all fully 100% belong to Jesus.
They said, what does that mean?
One of my daughters said, "That mean you gonna leave us?" Said, "I thought about it, but I'm not going to."
I'm turning you over to God. I trust God. You, and here's what God did to me. He said, "You remember yourself?"
I said, "Yeah." He said, "I did pretty good with you, didn't I?" "Yes, sir." He said, "I can handle them too."
I said, "Why?"
He said, "Because I know you know how much I love you. And for the righteous, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And the blessing shall be on the head of the righteous. And you are the righteousness of God." Turn that stuff loose, man. Keep some of your black hair and keep some of your zeal. You keep some energy so you can play cops and robbers when they're all gone. You got the whole house to yourself. In closing, listen. 2 Chronicles 20, you remember it? Jehoshaphat was under attack. What a strange thing to send your praises and singers as your commandos to go to the line where those armies were. And they went singing about the chassid, the tender, loving kindness of God, the mercy of God. They began to sing about how much God loved them. The Bible says as a result of that, the army helped to destroy one another. You know, some guy coming up to him say, "Man, wasn't that you that cussed my mama out last week? Man, I don't even know your mama. That was you. Oh, man, that was my cousin you killed. Oh, yeah." And they destroyed one another. Okay, here's what I want you to get. See, the real deal is I had some Brother Mac's root beer. And I think it's having this effect on me that I'm trying to figure out what is this stuff going on here. But look what happened. They're going up singing about how much God loves them. The army, God sets ambushment against the army. Now here's what I want you to hear. They spent the next 3 days gathering the spoils. It was so much. Now here's what the Lord told me to tell you tonight. Not that, but.
If you will begin to feed on how much God loves you, you will see your battles won, and you are going to spend some days gathering the spoils. You're going to be like David, which Hebrew's name is beloved. And there's going to be a giant standing up trying to intimidate you. I mean, what's the answer to an elephant, a mouse? What's the answer to a Goliath, a David? What's the answer to the big giants in your life? It's you believing that God loves me. And like David, you're going to cut the head off of your giants and you're going to march in the city and show people how to get ahead in life. You're going to understand how to do that because you're going to understand how much God loves you.
Now, I'm not finished. I'll finish tomorrow. But now I got to shut up because I want you to come back. I don't want you going home. I will go back tomorrow, but Brother Dollar really talks a long time, doesn't he?
On television, he only talks about 23 minutes.
Yeah, but if I got the same suit on for 3 days, that was a long session.